Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How is everyone this fine Monday? It is the 2nd of April. It is great to talk to all of you. It seems like it's been a while. I guess, you know, Easter yesterday. I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday weekend. If you practice Easter or not, whatever. I was an NFL scout. I was director of football ops at Akron. I was a 3-year recruiting assistant at Pitt. I was at ESPN for 10 years. And now I have worked all over the internet since then and decided to consolidate all my writing at WilliamsonFootball.com. Just newly launched, if you haven't heard. Really excited about it. I already put out about 20 articles, even though we've really only been live for a couple days. And one of them is going to be the State of the Bengals address. That's what we're going to talk about today. I wrote this article a couple days ago and realized you and I haven't really talked Bengals all that much this offseason, in part partly because they haven't done a whole lot. But when you really break down the team like I do in the State of the address, you know, State of the Bengals, Browns, whomever, just finish the Browns, turn those in, I'm going to start working on the Steelers. It's a 32-part series, so you get a different perspective when you do 1,500 words on an entire team. And when I wrote up the Bengals, you feel a lot better about them than when you kind of talk about them in a great big bloody nutshell. But, words of warning, this is one of those teams that you feel better about on paper than you do on game day or over the course of the year. And some of that goes back to coaching and quarterbacking and the foundation and the culture and some of those things. But part of me is really optimistic too. And we'll get to all those things. You know, I'm not going to read this article verbatim for you, but I just pulled it up. I'm going to use this as my outline of my thoughts on the Bengals. And it also gives you a taste of, if you do subscribe to WilliamsonFootball.com, which I would very, very much appreciate and I could use it. This is the type of thing you'll get for all 32 teams and for every roster move and big thing going around in the NFL, you know, day to day, pumping out stuff left and right, fantasy stuff. But these are the guys more or less in order of that have left the Bengals. And I call that the departed. AJ McCarron, Russell Bodine, Andre Smith, Chris Smith, defensive end, Jeremy Hill, Adam Jones, and Kevin Minter, those last two have yet to sign anywhere else. McCarron's a backup. Bodine's been the starting center, but I've been highly critical of him pretty much every step of the way. The other guys aren't that big a deal. I think Jones has played well. Pac-Man's played well, but he's up in age. These are the guys they brought in. With the trade with the Bills, they got Cordy Glenn, brought back Tyler Eifert, added Preston Brown, added Chris Baker, added Bobby Hart. So, I begin this article kind of saying there hasn't been a lot of change. Not real sure is the arrow pointing up, down, sideways on this organization. You know, they won their final two games of the season to get to 7-9. But last year, their offense was really, really bad. You know, really, really bad. And on defense, 30 other teams created more turnovers than the Bengals, and I felt that the Bengals' offense did little to help them. You know, didn't run the ball a lot, didn't eat clock, didn't, you know, sustain drives. But I think this defense has a lot of talent, and I mentioned adding Cordy Glenn and Preston Brown. Glenn's a much better player, but they fill some pretty major needs. So you go into and you move back in the first round to acquire Glenn. But I think you go into the draft feeling pretty good about the roster. A ton of us killed the Bengals this time of year. I mean, I destroyed them, saying, I can't believe that you would let Whitworth and Zeitler leave. And that paid off to be a critical mistake and a predictable one. And yeah, you know, we drafted Fisher and Ogbogwe. I always say his name wrong. My apologies. Cedric Abuye, I think is the best way to say his name. But that was quite a while ago, too. And they did nothing in between drafting Fisher and Abuye between then and now. In terms, you know, when I was criticizing them a year ago. And you let two studs go off an already crumbling offensive line. And it was one of the worst lines in the league. I mean, I think that's true. But I also thought Dalton showing more and more that he's less the answer than he is the cure. I mean, that's without question. I've never been a big fan. But now you've got Glenn, and he's been injured a lot. Lower body injuries for a 340-pound man are a little concerning. Over the past two seasons, foot, ankle. But he's going to be your left tackle. Clint Bowling's going to make be your left guard. And Bowling's not great, but he's clearly the best Bengals offensive lineman, especially from a year ago. So that's a pretty decent left side. I mentioned Bodine is gone. Center is a gigantic need. I mean, a gigantic need. And maybe their first-round pick is a center such as James Daniels. I think that would be a great pickup. And there are some centers in this draft. They better use a first or second day one on them. Right now, P.J. Johnson is their starting center. And you'll see there's some movable pieces here, none of which I'm all that excited. Trey Hopkins is the left guard. He played more snaps than you would like. I mean, I wrote this, that Hopkins and Abuye combined to play nearly 1,400 snaps last year in pretty underwhelming fashion. That's not what you wanted. But I did think Hopkins got a little better as the season went on. Jake Fisher and Abuye, I would imagine, will be, along with Bobby Hart, who was terrible for the Giants, one of those three, I think, will be your starting right tackle, unless you draft a McGlinchey or somebody like that in the first round, which would have a trickle-down effect of Fisher and, I don't know that Abuye or Hart can play guard. But then maybe Fisher challenges Hopkins at guard. You also had Christian Westerman. Maybe he can factor in at guard or center. So like I said, there's a lot of different potential combinations that they have to figure out, and surely they're going to add at least one guy in the draft the first 2 days, maybe two. Center's the biggest hole. Right tackle's a problem, but at least there's guys there in Fisher, Hart, Abuye that have played it. Guard's not great, but Hopkins got better, and maybe Fisher would bounce inside. They used a lot of different starting combinations last year, so I do think it's imperative that they figure out a starting five early, you know, and stick with it. They also have a new offensive line coach, you know, so Frank Pollock is taking over as the offensive line coach. I guess that's a good thing. Skill guys, I really like. See, I think Mixon's a great player. Had very little running room. I thought he got better as the season went on. I know of his off-the-field incident, but I'm talking about as a player. I think he has a chance to be one of the best running backs in the league this year, if he gets a little bit of help, including as a receiver, all-around guy. And I think Gio Bernard is still really good, too. I mean, he's not all that reliable and wonderful in pass protection, but he's a good receiver. If he's your second back, that's awfully good, man. I mean, that has to be the foundation of this offense. It take more off of Dalton, put it on Mixon, and to a lesser degree, Bernard. Hopefully with an improved line. Well, it almost has to be an improved line. Hopefully with a greatly improved line after the draft. Dalton, this is his eighth year. He's going to be 31 in October, which is early in the season, obviously. I hate the term, he is what he is. I hate when people say that in any walk of life. But he kind of is at this point. I mean, he's the definition of the Daniel Jeremiah trailer, not truck, at the quarterback position. He needs a lot around him. You know, his best season was in 2015. And if you remember, that was healthy Tyler Eifert, A.J. Green, Sanu, Marvin Jones. Had an awesome supporting cast. Since then, he's looked worse and worse, in my opinion. He doesn't have much of an arm, you know, by NFL starting, you know, standards. And I don't think he processes information quick enough or anticipates quick enough or reads things quick enough to get away with it, especially with, quote, arm strength throws, you know, deep digs, outs to the opposite hash, balls you got to drive, and especially late in the year in that area of the country. He is a good athlete. I mean, he is an NFL quarterback. I don't mean to just kill him. And he does do his best work throwing to the middle of the field, which brings us to Tyler Eifert. I very much commend them for bringing Eifert back. They know more about him than any team in the league. I mean, I'm talking medical here. I mean, Eifert's missed more games than he's played as an NFL player. But when he plays, he's really good. And Kroft isn't terrible. He's young. Maybe he'll get a little better. But if Eifert's healthy and Kroft's your two, and we'll get to the receivers, and we talked about the running backs, now you're dangerous at skill position players. I mean, he scores touchdowns. He stretches the field. And when he's out, you can live with Kroft. You know, so there's a plan in place there for with and without Eifert. But I think Dalton, at his best, needs that middle-of-the-field Eifert, Mixon, Geo type of player for sure. And I think bringing Eifert back makes a lot of sense. As for the receivers, some mixed feelings here. I mean, I think A.J. Green's as good as ever. But without Eifert, with John Ross sitting on the sidelines, the Sanus and Jones of the world elsewhere, not very good protection. Teams loaded up their coverage on Green. And he's the next tier of great ones. You know, like Odell, Julio, A.B. are better football players than Green, but he's right behind him, and he's the second tier of wideouts. But with what was asked of him and the attention he saw, that's asking too much. But if Eifert can stay healthy and they can do a little more and they can put things through Mixon and the line's a little better and Dalton's life's easier and he can act like the 2015 version when there's a lot around him, then maybe. You know, I mean, then might have something here. I mentioned Ross, and maybe some of you know more about the situation than I do. He played 17 snaps last year. And why? I mean, and I get that maybe he gets there and you're disappointed with him, and I think there were some injuries involved. But when you drafted him, you knew he did one thing crazy well. I mean, he set the record at the 40. I mean, that's why he was drafted, was so they can't roll all that coverage to Green. That people are afraid of just pure speed, and now open up the middle of the field and the short dump-offs to Mixon and Eifert, which is what Dalton needs. And he was, I was critical of the pick, that he was very much overdrafted as early as he was. But didn't you know exactly what this guy was when you used the 9th overall pick on him just slightly under a year ago? And he only, can only play 17 snaps for you? Did he get slow over the last couple of months? Is there more here? There has to be more here than I don't know. Or I just don't understand the thought process from day one. So maybe it's not time to shovel a grave for Mr. Ross yet, and maybe he comes back and at least can be DeSean Jackson-like, even Ted Ginn-like. You know, just be fast. Tyler Boyd, pit guy. I mean, I'm rooting for him, but I think he's a role player. I think he's a tough dude, a slot guy, but has value. Another rookie from last year, Josh Malone, also has some ability, more of an outside-the-numbers type, so Cody Core has also factored in. Brandon LaFell, I think, is declining, and they need a Ross or somebody like that to push LaFell out of the number two role. But he's still there. I mean, he's not garbage. You know, he's still a decent player. Will they use an early pick on a receiver? Maybe. But I think that if the stable here, especially when you consider the pass catchers at tight end and running back, it's not so awful. But what if you have to play two games without A.J. Green? You know what I mean? Like, it all of a sudden could turn into a mess. So I wouldn't condemn them for using an early pick on a wideout. You know, James Washington, somebody like that in the second round would make some sense, especially if he landed a center or a tackle in the first round. So overall, though, I mean, I think their skill position guys are potentially one of the best in the league. I mean, that's high praise, and a lot of that's Ron Mixon. But what a sentence I wrote in my State of the Bengals address here is, overall, Cincinnati guys have a chance to be amongst the best skill. Let me write that. I'm just mumbling there. Overall, Cincinnati's skill guys have a chance to be amongst the best in the NFL. But this offense is built like a beautiful home on a creaky foundation. You know, it feels like it's a wonderful mansion that the pipes burst and the heating isn't right and the foundation's crumbling. You know, like, but if you can improve this offensive line, and you're probably stuck with Dalton, a quarterback, it's got a chance to be better. Now, the Bengals' defense. Geno Atkins is a superstar. He's not Aaron Donald. But he's, you know, like I said about A.J. Green, like, if Brown, Beckham, Jones are at this tier, he's right behind him. Geno's right behind Donald in terms of penetrating three techniques. I think he's as good as he's ever been. I think William Jackson is potentially the next great cornerback in the NFL. Vontaze Burfict is suspended for the first four games, but he's a real difference maker and a very, very good football player, despite what you think of him as a dirty player or whatever. Great against the run, football all the time, good against the pass. Burfict is a great player. Carl Lawson looked like a potential stud last year and has to get more and more snaps. Carlos Dunlap is still there as a 4-3 defensive end who's still playing really, really well. That in itself is star power and a foundation. You know, you talk about that offense doesn't have the foundation. The defense absolutely does. And then I said something along the lines of here, along with the free agent addition of Preston Brown, who's best against the run, and a pair of quality safeties in Georgia Loca and Sean Williams, the Bengals have a very good core of defensive starters. You know, you mentioned all those guys I just talked about, too. I like taking a chance on Chris Baker. He signed a big fat contract in Tampa and kind of played like a big fat dude that didn't work as hard as he should. But minimal risk. Put him next to Geno Atkins. Baker's a big guy that can control the point, but he can also get upfield. Andrew Billings is really a nose, but he can hold the point too, and that's kind of who he is. And Ryan Glasnow's a tough dude that provides some snaps too. So that interior's pretty good. And I mentioned Dunlap and Lawson. Michael Johnson's still there. I thought Jordan Willis flashed pretty well as defensive end. So they have star power in their defensive front. They have depth. They have youth. They have upside. So that's a pretty good group. You know, I mentioned Burfict, and there's also Brown now. I think those are your every down guys. Would it break my heart if they drafted a really athletic run and hit guy? And that would make some sense. But I don't think they have to. You know, Nick Vigil and Vincent Ray provide some of that. Both those guys are pretty athletic and are more space players, but they're more special teamers, spot guys. So if I'm looking up the middle, and a safety to groom, a linebacker that could really run, maybe, you know. But overall, I don't think the defense needs a whole heck of a lot. You know, I talked about Jackson. I think he's clearly going to be the number one corner. But Draper Kirkpatrick, Darquez Dennard, both were first-round picks. I thought Dennard played a lot better this past year. He's kind of a physical, bang-you-around type corner that moved to the slot and did pretty darn well there closer to the line of scrimmage. I think Kirkpatrick's a pretty good player, too. Neither one are super quick, though. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you'd want to add the 5'10", 190-pound dude that changes directions really well with a real good shuttle as a potential slot. But Dennard played well there. You know, I mean, like, it's not a real quick twitch group. I mean, they all kind of are on the same mold, with Jackson being by far the best of them. So, that, you know, on paper, again, I think this defense could be one of the better ones in the league. Could take a big step forward. New defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin. He's from around here. He's from Sharon, PA. Has a really good reputation. He comes over from the Lions. This was kind of a league average defense last year, despite not turning the ball over at all. And I think with a little coaching boost and Lawson in his second year, Jackson, you remember, he didn't really have a rookie year. Some of these young dudes, this defense can be really good next year. So I would approach the draft. You know, I mentioned a couple things. Would it be awful to add a receiver? No. Would it be awful to add a safety to groom for the future? No. Or an athletic linebacker. But I'm really looking here for a tackle. I wouldn't turn my nose up at a guard. I think you have to get a center if you're the Bengals. I mean, you have to get a center. And really, they should consider a quarterback high. Like, if they took Lamar Jackson in the first round, I'd stand up and applaud and say, that's great. And then draft O-line, you know, something like that. But that's my thoughts. So I hope you guys like this. You know, I like doing these, just focusing on one teams with you guys on the Locked On NFL podcast. You should certainly check out Locked On Bengals if you're into the Bengals. Check on Locked On Steelers, Locked On Ravens, Locked On Browns too. Check out the opponents. But this is what you get at WilliamsFootball.com. It is, you know, many, many articles just like I spelled out for you for every team and for every move. Drop me a line on Twitter, @WilliamsonNFL. See you.